show.
You may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host, right here on The Raw Deal on Revolution Radio on this 22nd day of December 2023, on the eve of Christmas as it is, and the departure of my steadfast producer, Mitchell Bopp. I wanted to put together a spectacular show, and I believe I have achieved that for you today. My very special guest is an extraordinary man I've known for over 20 years. He's published a very large number of books, including some highly controversial, such as Hitler Was a British Asian. He may be the leading expert on the royal family of the UK. And from all I can put together, he actually is a proper, legitimate ascendant to the throne of England, where were he to be crowned, he would designate himself as King John the Third. Greg Hallett, what a pleasure to have you here, my friend. Just a joy.
Thanks, Jim. Happy Christmas.
Yeah. Same to you. For any who may be unaware, why don't you give us a little background about your study of the history of the royal family and how you came to recognize your own role in the lineage?
Well, that's a huge topic. First of all, is this live?
Yes.
It's live.
Yes, we're live.
Oh, okay. Okay, I thought we were going to record it and then post it out later.
No, we're good.
Okay, so... Well, it was about 2007 I started to recognise that various individuals were completely illegitimate, including King George V, who was the King of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and All Ireland from 1910 to 1936. He was actually the son of Tsar Alexander III of Russia. So I wrote that up in about a 35-page document, and sent it off to Queen Elizabeth II, Prince Philip, Prince Charles, the Archbishop of Canterbury, the Pope, the Prime Minister of the UK, President of Russia, President of America, Prime Minister of Israel. And I ended up sending out about 25 of these proclamations. They eventually became proclamations, so I changed the colour of the stitching, which is called red tape, and it's usually done in a red ribbon or a pink or crimson ribbon, and that's where you get the name red tape from. And then I started to do it in the sovereign white tape, and Queen Elizabeth started to act out my instructions on these proclamations, and so did the President of Israel and the Prime Minister of Israel, the President of Russia, and the President of the United States of America. So that was kind of interesting. And then I've just written another 13 books called British Frauds on England's History. And that's about the Jesuit takeover of England, which really started in 1603 with King James VI of Scotland, who became supposedly King James VI of Scotland, who supposedly became King James I of England. And what I found out was that that actually didn't happen. None of it was legal. So we had the real King James VI, Mary Queen of Scots' son, the Prince James Charles or Charles James, they don't know which, who was supposedly crowned King James VI of Scotland when he was 13 months old. In actual fact, he died when he was 2.5 days old, and he was replaced with the wet nurse's son, who was born on the same day, and he was called John Forbes. And then he was replaced with John Erskine, who was actually crowned King James VI of Scotland. And then his father died, so he had to become the second Earl of Mar. So he got replaced with his cousin. And then all the Scottish royals had a breeding race to produce a son at the same time as James VI. And they produced another 6 James VI. And they were all rounded up in Ruthven Castle and then kidnapped for 11 months. And then they had a Jesuit servant, and the Jesuit servant studied them, all these 6 fake King James VI, and then poisoned them, and then wrote a poem how he poisoned them in Slane's Castle, and then set up Slane's Castle for tourism for Catholics to go and see where he'd murdered all the James VI. And then he went down to St. Andrew's Castle, and some passing Jesuits just happened to be there visiting St. Catherine's Cathedral, and they said, oh, look, there's the missing King James VI. He must be the king. And the primate of Scotland was in jail at the time under St. Andrew's Castle. So this Jesuit servant ended up becoming King James VI of Scotland because no one had seen him. And then he became King James VI of England. But because he wasn't actually ever crowned King James VI of Scotland, they changed the name of England to Britain. Not Britain, but Britain, B-R-I-T-T-A-I-N-E. And Francis Bacon, who was his Lord Chancellor, pointed out that Britain was not a legal entity. So we had King James I of England, who was actually King James I of Britain, who was actually never King James I of King James VI of Scotland. So we had this fake British monarchy from 1603 to the present day.
Yes, yes, yes. And by the way, I have here your 5-volume set on the Hidden King of England, Greg, which must be the most thorough and detailed ever carried out about the royal family, where you make the impeccable case that the Windsors are not legitimate heirs to the throne of England. Could you elaborate?
Yeah, well, those books are now selling for around 5,200 euros for that set. So, you know, if you want to sell them back to me, that'd be great. Maybe I'll hook them off. Basically, the whole British royal family is a dirty mafia operation. There's no clean bits in it. So James VI of Scotland was illegitimate. He was just a commoner. James I of England was illegitimate, the same illegitimate commoner, and he was never actually crowned King of England. They changed it to Britain. And they locked up the true King of England, who was Walter Raleigh, who was actually Walter Boleyn. He was Queen Anne Boleyn's grandson. So on the illegitimate side of the British royal family, you've got James I and Charles I, Charles II and James II. James II was actually run out of England for being Catholic, but really he was just a long line of Stuart illegitimates. And then you've got, skipping a few, you've got George I, George II, George III, George IV. George III's wife, Charlotte, was an illegitimate half-Negro woman whose father was Peter the Cannibal. His name was actually... So George, King George III of England's father-in-law was Peter the Cannibal. So they changed his name to Peter Gannibal. George IV failed to legitimately marry, and he failed to produce any legitimate heirs. Then it went to William IV, and he got no legitimate heirs from his wife, and he hooked up with this actress woman called Dorothy Jordan, who had 15 children to 5 different men. So she was a bit loose, and produced 10 illegitimate children to William IV, and one of those descendants is David Cameron, who was the United Kingdom's most ineffective Prime Minister ever, and other MPs were just standing up and saying it on TV when he was getting when he was being removed, that he was the just after he'd been removed, that he was the most ineffective Prime Minister, and he achieved absolutely nothing in 6 years. So, so then we've got Queen Victoria. She was the daughter of the French Baron Jacob Mayo de Rothschild, and all of her 9 so-called royal children, they were all sired by Lionel Nathan Rothschild, so they were all illegitimate. And Queen Victoria's children were sent out to marry the other royal families of Europe. And then the Rothschilds went round from 1918 to 1945 and showed the royal families that they'd married into the illegitimate British royal family line, and removed all the royal families in Europe, of Europe, on that basis. So the Dutch royal family was illegitimate by itself, as they produced a mongoloid child in 1909. I can't remember what the official name is for mongoloid. There's a more politically correct name for it. Down syndrome. So the Dutch royal family gave birth to a Down syndrome child in 1909, and their palace was in the middle of nowhere near Utrecht. And there was a farmhouse at the end of the drive, and they had a daughter at the same time. So they swapped daughters. They gave the Down syndrome child to the people in the farmhouse at the bottom of the palace drive, and took their child, which had a cleft palate, and they named it Julia, and then they made a queen. And then, so no one wanted her because the royal families knew she was a commoner. And then the commoner, Queen Julia of the Netherlands, she gave birth to Queen Beatrice. And I was staying in the Netherlands for about 13 months back in 2013. And I'm only supposed to be there for 3 months. And this very beautiful immigration officer, about 32, blonde, she sits next to me at the bar. She says, "How come you're here? How come you're here for so long?" And I said, here's my title. So I rallied off my titles, and she goes, "I believe you." That was on a Friday. And then on the Monday, Queen Beatrice of the Netherlands resigned. Right? She was scared of my titles, and she knew that her own royal family were illegitimate. So what's happened with the royal families of Europe and the royal families of Britain is when you know that they're illegitimate, they will, and you expose it in the correct way, they will resign. And that's what's been happening, right? So I sent a proclamation of about 60 pages to Queen Elizabeth in 2021, in early 2021, and it was on the Magna Carta. and I proved that the Magna Carta was an absolute fake, total, absolute fraud. It's called a pious fraud. It was invented by the Catholic Church. It was never in England. It first got into Britain in the 1620s, and then it was kind of habilitated, which is where they try to make an instrument and they place it in various official places so that it looks like it was always there. But King John never saw the Magna Carta in 1215. He never saw it in his lifetime. And there's no parliamentary references to the Magna Carta. I've emailed them constantly and contacted them constantly. And they initially responded. And when I said, look, you know, all the Magna Cartas that you're showing me are not the original. They're not copies of the original. They're not exemplifications of the original. They have no seals attached. They have no signatures attached. And they're not even the original draft copies. And they're not even the original copies of drafts. They're perhaps an exemplification of a copy of a draft. And then when I follow all of their leads to find the Magna Carta, it just goes round and round in a circle. So their central point is, the Magna Carta exists, yay! Here's a full website showing the Magna Carta and everything about it. And you follow it and it just goes round and round and round in a circle. So what we've got is a whole lot of fake documents and a whole lot of fake royals. Right? And then the illegitimacy continues from Queen Victoria's children. So King Edward VII was the son of Lionel Nathan Rothschild, and he sired Winston Churchill, who then sired Queen Elizabeth. But there appear to be more than one Queen Elizabeth. There's one with straight teeth, one with crooked teeth. So from Edward VII, there was George V, and Edward VII was bypassed as the breeding male because he was the son of the Rothschilds, and then George V was the son of Tsar Alexander III of Russia, and then there was George VI, who was actually legitimate, and then there was Queen Elizabeth, who wasn't legitimate because George VI sired an epileptic son, which they left to die in the hospital gurney in 1925. So Elizabeth Bell's Lyon was replaced with her maid, who was a twin, and that was confirmed by Lyon's maid Ice Cream starting at the same time in Kensington in 1925. So that was in your face. And then we had Winston Churchill, son of King Edward VII, siring Queen Elizabeth. Now, the theory about her is you've got one with crooked teeth and one with straight teeth. And the person who made the coronation dresses for Queen Elizabeth II's coronation in 1953, she made four dresses, not one, but four, of different sizes. Because there were four different Queen Elizabeths. Apparently there was twins, so one had crooked teeth and one had straight teeth. There was Elizabeth Bell's Lyon's maid, who was a twin, so there was her daughter, supposedly Queen Elizabeth, and then her sister's daughter, another stand-in for Queen Elizabeth. So, and then you've got Winston Churchill's actual daughter, who was about 3.5 years older than Queen Elizabeth. So he had four Queen Elizabeths and four coronation dresses. And what I think happened is they drew straws to see who would actually get crowned. And the one who was crowned, the Queen Elizabeth who was crowned, had a ski slope nose, you know, like that. And then the Queen Elizabeth you saw as an elder woman did not have a ski slope nose. It was a straight, pudgy nose. And then you had Queen Elizabeth turning up with straight teeth and Queen Elizabeth turning up with crooked teeth. The whole thing's just been a giant sham, waiting for it to be exposed as a giant sham so that we can push the reset button and say that the British royal family has actually never existed and we're still at the position of King of England as the last legal entity, or rather Queen Elizabeth I is Queen of England, the last legal entity. And then her mother was Queen Anne Boleyn, who survived her execution. Her grandson was Walter Raleigh, who was the next true King of England, which is why the first thing that James VI of Scotland, when he came to England, first thing he did was jail Walter Raleigh for 13 years.
Right? Greg, it seems to me Queen Elizabeth II has been very, very popular, and Prince Philip certainly looks the role of the prince consort, but the situation seemed to me completely different with Charles. Wouldn't it have been better to have finessed Charles and gone right to William, who with Kate is really popular among the British people?
Well, I have to say that Americans know absolutely nothing about the British royal family. And you've been sold a pup in every way, right? Queen Elizabeth II was illegitimate. She was extorted into marriage by Philip and his uncle, Lord Louis Mountbatten, on the basis that Elizabeth was illegitimate. So that's how Philip married her. He had two suits and 20 quid when he married her. So he was pretty much worthless. He was borderline whether he was a prince or not, you know. And they always made him appear tall. They always got the camera and shot up at him so he looked like a really tall man. He was 5'9". Weighed about 110 pounds, you know. He was a short guy, right? So that whole thing was a sham, and it was actually written up in the 1953 Disney movie Peter Pan as the two raccoons, which was the raconteur and the racketeer. And the two raccoons were Prince Philip and Lord Louis Mountbatten, who were actually extorting the British royal family.
Well, Charles seems to me to be, I mean, this is my personal opinion, a total mediocrity. I cannot see him fit to rule. He's a globalist. He's into global warming. He seems to me to be just inadequate to the role, Greg. And I don't want to put you on any hot seats. I'm just saying that's my take, and that he and Camilla should be, you know, reigning in England seems to me to be some kind of minor atrocity.
Oh, no, it is. You got it right on the button. Yeah, it is. So, you know, there is a theory that Jacob Rothschild is the sire father of Prince Charles. And Lord Porchester is the sire father of Prince Andrew. And Lord Plunkett is the sire father of Prince Edward, and that Philip's only legitimate child was Princess Anne, who kind of, you know, is very manly, and people are scared of her. She's portrayed as like this dark ghost floating down the hallway. Like a horror movie. I find that quite funny. Camilla Parker Bowles is Prince Charles' controller. They had a child together conceived on her 18th birthday when he was still 16. And that son is Simon Charles Day. He's now Simon Charles Durante Day, and he's got 9 black children. So Prince Charles and Camilla have 9 half black grandchildren, which they're doing their best to not acknowledge. Now, Prince Charles is an incredibly weak character, and he is from 420 years of illegitimacy. Right? The British royal family has been illegitimate for 420 years, and Prince Charles has absolutely no royal qualities at all, none. And because he recognises that the British royal family are illegitimate, he's trying to take over the world and make himself king of the world while ignoring Great Britain because it's not a legal entity, while ignoring England because it has been a legal entity since 1603, while ignoring the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland because it's not a legal entity, and while ignoring the Parliament of Great Britain because it's not a legal entity. So, and while being part of a family, British royal family, that is predominantly illegitimate, using a crown that's not real, using an orb that's not real, using a scepter that's not real, and sitting over a coronation stone that is actually a sewerage manhole cover. Right? The coronation stone we're using is a sewerage manhole cover. Right? Now, I found the real coronation stone because I'm the King of England. I went to Scotland and I found the real coronation stone. I hired an 8-ton digger and I dug it up. It was like my height underground with my hair to the grass, you know. It was perfectly done. And it was exactly where they said it would be on the old maps. And they named the towns according to my name so that I could produce a tower cross, which is that shape, so a mile from here to here, and then 1.5 miles down there, and then 333 feet in. And that was exactly where the stone was. And the names of the town, first syllable H-A-L, second syllable L-E-T-T. Hallett. So that actually marked the towns because they knew who was going to uncover the stone. Right?
And of course, if the stone were not in Westminster when the coronation took place, the coronation cannot have been authentic.
Oh, the coronation wasn't authentic by any means. And because Charles's catch and release for his crimes, and because it was a fake crown, the crown was stolen in 1216, stolen again in 1410, it was stolen again in the 1650s. It was stolen and crushed in 1671. And the orb and scepter, they were stolen. And in 1671, the scepter was cut in half with a hacksaw. And the crown was crushed in half, flattened, and then stuffed down someone's trousers.
Greg, hold that thought. We have a break here, and we'll return with the man who would be king, Greg Hallett, right after this break.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms of free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
No, Greg, well, it may be difficult for some in our audience to understand and appreciate, but you and I on various occasions have discussed the multiple complex detailed signs that you are a legitimate heir to the crown of England, and that it has been acknowledged by various authorities in the proper position to make that acknowledgement. It appears the royal family is well aware of its illegitimacy, that you actually properly belong installed as a king of England, but they apparently are reluctant to relinquish their power and control. How do you see the situation? How does it stand today?
It stands in prophecy. This series of books that have been written that are prophecies for the true King of England and the true King of Scotland reclaiming their thrones, and they just have to fulfill the prophecies. I've fulfilled over 130 prophecies. Some of them are in Shakespeare, some of them are in the Bible, some of them are in the Book of Prophecies, some of them are in the Rosicrucian cosmography. That names me, gives my address growing up, and has drawings of me on it. And that was done in 1618.
Just astonishing stuff. But you've even had acknowledgement from those in position to authenticate that your claims are legitimate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've sent probably... must be around 1,000 pages of proclamations, 25 proclamations to the British royal family, and they have not denied any of them and not killed me, for being poisoned a few times, and not denied them at all. And because I have the coronation stone, I got the coronation stone in autumn of 2020, which is exactly when it was predicted to be found. And then I sent a proclamation to Queen Elizabeth and to Prince Charles showing that I have the coronation stone and that it is the exact right length, width, height and weight and the right type of stone as predicted and the right color of stone as predicted. And it is the only coronation stone that has no chisel marks on it. All the others have multiple chisel marks that have actually been made, right? So I contacted National Environment Scotland, who are authenticators, and they confirmed that the so-called coronation stone that they have in Edinburgh Castle, which was used in Prince Charles' coronation and Queen Elizabeth's coronation, that it is known as the Stone of Scone from Scone Palace, and it is only casually called the Coronation Stone at the time of coronation, and that it doesn't come from Israel or Palestinia or Ireland, that it comes from the Scone Quarry, a mile south of Scone Palace in Edinburgh, which is north of Edinburgh. So they've admitted in writing to me that the coronation stone that they have, that was used in the coronation, is a locally quarried stone with chisel marks on at least three sides. And it's got two steel rings fixed to it for lifting it up and down out of the out of its position as a sewage manhole cover. So there's about 20, or about 15 different names for the coronation stone, including Jacob's Pillow and Leah Fowle, which is the Irish name. And I have the coronation stone, Jacob's Pillow, Leah Fowle. Right? I've got the original real one, thousands of years old. Now, because the British royal family are illegitimate for 420 years as supposedly kings of England, but not kings of England, not a parliament of England, not a parliament of Great Britain, that's all non-legal stuff. Because they are not the English royal family and they are not the Scottish royal family, for them to have used the correct coronation stone in their fake coronation would invoke the wrath of God. And the British royal family, fake as they are, they're scared of two things, the wrath of God and the mob.
And the mob.
The mob, yeah.
Greg, I want to ask you some questions, and of course you're free to decline to pursue them for whatever reason, but first of all, I'd like to ask about Princess Diana. She, of course, was admired and loved by the whole world. She devoted herself to a campaign to abolish landmines, which bring about the death of so many civilians, including children. She said repeatedly that it was a third party to her marriage, who, of course, was Camilla. It appears that Charles had one and only one love, and her name was not Diana, that perhaps in part out of retaliation or resentment, she had at least one affair, we know, because Prince Harry is not fathered by Charles, though I am inclined to believe, and you can correct me if I'm mistaken, William was.
No, and, no, no, he's not either.
Not even William. Okay. Pick it up there, because then I want to pursue her death, which appears to have been contrived. By my understanding, it was Prince Philip who directed that she be taken out because she was going with Fayed, may have been pregnant by him because he was Muslim. Charles felt this was an impurification of the royal lineage, as though it were not already sufficiently corrupt. Your comments on any and all of the above?
The Rothschilds took over the British royal family in 1815 with the Battle of Waterloo, and thereafter they have been in control of breeding rights and breeding as many illegitimates as they feel like, which is usually about two out of three are illegitimate. So the British royal family are totally controllable by the Rothschilds. Queen Elizabeth was illegitimate and common, and she knew that, and she knew who I was, so she introduced me to her brother, who was conceived by King George VI before he became king. When he's Duke of York, he was instructed by his father, George V, to go to New Zealand, find the most sacred woman, and marry her. So he had a child with Guy Rangi, who was called George Fitzradimer. And Queen Elizabeth II and King George VI, Sergeant Surgeon or Doctor, was a New Zealander who came third in the Chariots of Fire 100-meter sprint in the Olympics. And that movie was actually made by Dodi Al-Fayed, right? He funded it and produced it, Chariots of Fire, which was a big success. So the guy in real life who came third in that race was a New Zealander called Lord Arthur S.B. Porritt, and he was the doctor to King George VI and Queen Elizabeth II, and he was a New Zealander, and he came out to New Zealand, and he said, he was in March, he came out, March 1967, and he was due to become Governor General in October 1967, and he had some sheep. My father was a champion shearer, so my father was asked to share his sheep, which is about 45 minutes away, so they're really stretching the boundaries. You know, there would have been 1,000 other shearers in between. And then we went to Lord Arthur Espy's Pirate's Place for cold meat sandwiches on a Sunday, and then he is sitting at my father's knee, and he says, "Why don't you take your son down to Rotorua to see King George VI's son?" So I go down to Rotorua, and I have an audience with me and my father. My father there, so I got a private audience with King George VI's son, who actually outranks Queen Elizabeth because he was male. Queen Elizabeth was born in April 1926, and he was born in Christmas 1927. And then later on, I met his bodyguard, and his bodyguard turned out to be became a good friend of mine. He was with the Security Intelligence Service, and whenever there was a hoo-ha in Rotorua, my friend from the Security Intelligence Service would drive up from Wellington with two cars, in case one broke down, and pick up King George VI's son and drive him to the location of where the incident was with a British tourist or British employee, government employee, and quell the situation. So when I first told this kind of second in charge of the Security Intelligence Service my story of meeting him, he knew that he existed, right? And I had another friend in internal affairs, and he also had met him as a kid. So, the British Royal Family introduced me to Queen Elizabeth's superior when I was 5 3/4. So that put me on the road to sort of being on par with Diana a little bit. She was sort of embroiled in things, and Charles and Camilla had been together since Charles was 16 and Camilla was 17. They had that illegitimate child together, which they try not to acknowledge, but it meant that, and that child was in Australia, by the way. So Charles was basically compromised and extorted, and his controller was Camilla Parker Bowles. And so Diana got killed in 1997, or didn't. My theory is that she was alive in the car afterwards, and the ambulance took a total of 87 minutes to get the call from the accident to actually get her to the hospital. It should have taken 10 minutes max. It was 87 minutes. And they parked for 5 minutes outside the hospital. And that's why I think they had a fake floor. So they had a coffee run where they had a fake Diana, who was 5'9", same colored hair, same age, and a cadaver. And they brought that out from underneath, and they put Diana underneath. And then what they did was deliver a dead body. And the French woman who was who was acting as the coroner, she's known for getting things totally wrong for counterintelligence. She's basically a coroner for sale, a coroner for hire. So the coroner report we got on Diana arriving to hospital was entirely manufactured, and the coroner report on the driver was entirely manufactured. And the photos of the Mercedes hitting that pylon, there's 200 pictures, and they all differ. They're all different. You've got some with a collapsed roof, some without a collapsed roof, some with no roof. You've got different number plates. You've got different tiles on the wall, right? So the whole thing was just really obviously manufactured. Now, Diana was also illegitimate. She was the daughter of Sir Jimmy Goldsmith. And Sir Jimmy Goldsmith was a billionaire, and he conveniently died 6 weeks before Diana. So what I think happened is Sir Jimmy Goldsmith faked his death, and then Diana faked her death and joined him so she could hang out with her real father. And her first cousin, her half-sister was Jemima Goldsmith.
You're telling me you think Diana is actually alive?
Well, she was then. Yeah, it was a fake death. You know, the number of fake deaths is absolutely huge. The number of people who fake the deaths is just astounding. It's history-altering. But there is a law in the United States of America that if you're famous, you are allowed to fake your death. And the authorities will go along with it. You know, people just have enough and they just fake their deaths. Yeah.
Yeah, the story I'd heard was that Diane had survived the crash intact, though the driver and Doty were dead, that she was sedated and put into the ambulance, taken about 100 meters from the hospital, and beaten so badly with internal injuries she could not survive after they delivered her to the hospital and died as a consequence. Your version is, of course, quite different than that.
No, it overlaps, Jim. They would have beaten the cadaver so that it looked like she was in a mortal car accident. But Diana wasn't harmed. I think Diana was actually a little bit in on it. She was in on faking her own death. And then you've got the two sons, Diana's two sons. You've got William is the son of King Juan Carlos of Spain. I released that story and I got King Juan Carlos of Spain to abdicate. And then you've got Harry is the son of James Hewitt. And then afterwards, those two boys seem to change a little bit. So some people are suggesting that it's not the same people. And then we've got Charles is not the father of William. He's not the father of Harry anyway. So he's got he's got 9 illegitimate great-grandchildren. So we've got Charles, who has no legitimate continuity, and he comes from an illegitimate, and he's an anti-prince, an anti-king, with a fake coronation stone, fake orb, fake scepter, fake crown, and a fake ceremony where the Pope supplied all of the gowns for the Archbishop of Canterbury and his 6 bishops, making it a Catholic ceremony, Catholic dress, Catholic ceremony, because Prince Charles is so illegitimate and he has 6 body doubles with 7 Prince Charles that he's just an illegitimate and an illegitimate ceremony. He's a Jesuit. Prince Charles is a Jesuit because he's compromised catch and release because he's illegitimate and he was involved in the Northern Bank robbery, which stole £26.5 million. It was the biggest bank robbery in UK history. All right. So yeah. You've got crime and crime and crime. There isn't a foothold for the British royal family to say that they're a royal family. And even when you read their documents and their oaths and the coronation text, there's nothing about it that says they're the king of the land. There's nothing about it that says they're the king of the people. There's nothing about it that says they're the king of England. They are a suffix king. It's blah, 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 blah of king, right? So he's not king of England. He's not king of Great Britain. He's the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland king. Suffix, right? Now, if I'm calling you up to court on, let's say, a charge of something, I'll go, Fetzer Jim, right? Because you're a delinquent, and the British royal family are delinquents, and a delinquent is, it's actually a police term, they taught it to me. Police term is, delinquent is either bankrupt or illegitimate or both. Right, and they appear to be really wealthy, so they're illegitimate. They're illegitimate delinquents with a title that is a suffix title, and Great Britain actually never existed. Great Britain was created in 1707, and it was spelt wrong. So you had England. This is going back, but You had England and you had Scotland. Or rather, you had the Kingdom of England and the Kingdom of Scotland. The Kingdom of England hadn't existed since 1603, but they stuck that in the documents. And then you had the Kingdom of Scotland, and they joined in the Act of Union 1707 as Great Britain, or United Kingdom of Great Britain. But they spelt it wrong right through the document. Right? So they called it the name of Great hyphen Britain, with a capital N for name. They called it United Kingdom of Great hyphen Britain, with a lowercase u. They called it Imperial Crown of Great hyphen Britain, with a lowercase I. They called it Parliament of Great Britain, with a hyphen, Great Britain. They called it Kingdom of Great Britain, as Great Britain was one word. They called it Parliament of Great Britain is one word. They called it Parliaments of Great Britain is one word. And they called it Peers of Great Britain is one word. So today we use great separate word Britain. It was spelt incorrectly 92% of the time and only 8% correct in the instrument. Also, United Kingdom was spelt with a lowercase u 26 times. And United Kingdom with a capital U was only used once, so it's 96% incorrect and 4% correct, right? So if I was to write a check to James Fetzer as one word, or if I wrote a check to James hyphen Fetzer as one word, or I wrote a check to Jimmy Fetzer, or I wrote a check to Jiminy Cricket Fetzer, you couldn't cash them, right? So what they've done is they've created all of these fake names for the joining of England and Scotland as Great Britain, one word, Great hyphen Britain, and never a United Kingdom of Great Britain with a capital U, and it was the same for the Parliament, right? So we got some.
Greg, I don't know. Go ahead. Just go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So the United Kingdom of Great Britain, with Great Britain as a separate word and a capital U, that was never used. And United Kingdom of Great Britain, as Great Britain as a separate word with a lowercase u, that was also never used. Right. So you've got the forming, the joining of the Kingdom of England, which hadn't existed since 1603. And with the Kingdom of Scotland, and it's spelt wrong 92% of the time and 90% of the time, and never actually spelt correctly any of the time. Right?
All for legalistic, deceptive purposes.
Well, it was another Jesuit takeover. They use deceptive spelling. They use incorrect spelling because they know that what they're doing is not lawful, but they're trying to make it legal. And they're trying to make it legal by acting on what was never lawful, right? And you've got a similar problem in United States of America, right? It's actually North America, and you had a Jesuit takeover of North America, which got called United States of America. So what are you? Are you a United Statesian? You know?
Yeah, I'm here.
No, are you a United Statesian? You know? What country?
I'm a United States citizen, presumably.
Yeah, whatever citizen means. But are you North American?
Sure.
Okay. Well, what country do you live in?
The United States of America.
That's actually a corporation. Whenever you see the word united, it means a Jesuit takeover. So you've got United Kingdom with all of its seven spelling mistakes, and you've got United States of America. You've also got the United States of Mexico, right, which is another Jesuit takeover. So Raleigh discovered America, and is kind of half-brother or step-brother or no relation at all, but they grew up in the same household. Gilbert, he discovered North America in 1583, and then he died on the way back, so it went to the Vice Admiral Commander of the expedition, which is Walter Raleigh, right? And then Queen Elizabeth gave Walter Raleigh North America. And because Walter Raleigh was Protestant, not Catholic, the Jesuits came in who worked for the Catholics and put a complete overlay over North America and called it United States of America. And that was formed with 50 states in on 1st of July 1959. So we're getting really recent history. All right.
Yeah, so, fascinating stuff, Greg. I mean, it's just mind-boggling for those who accept a conventional view of the UK.
Yeah, so when you get to North America, what does North America mean? What's its boundaries? Because you've got two different things. You've got North America, the country, and you've got North America, the continent. Right? North America, the country, is south of Canada and north of Mexico. And North America, the continent, is North America, Canada, Alaska, Greenland, Central America, and South America. Right? So yeah. if you say you're North American, you know, the people in South America can also say that. So, you know, where's your definition? Where's your boundaries? So what happened with Diana is she was in some ways a pawn and she's some way really clued up. I think she was a lot brighter than she let on. And she knew that Britain never existed and that James VI of Scotland, James I of England was a complete fop. He was a total commoner. He was never crowned. He was never christened James Charles or Charles James. And he was never crowned King of Scotland and he was never crowned King of England.
Greg, stand by. We're heading for a break and we'll be right back with Greg Hallett. You don't want to miss a word of this.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial
is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Rick, of course, you're welcome to complete your thoughts. I would like also to gain your assessment of the role of the United Kingdom in the world today. Charles seems to be all in with the war in Ukraine against Russia and equally supportive of the Israeli genocide of Palestinians. These seem to be horrific blunders, but he, as king, has the resources, vast resources at his disposal, which it appears to me are being used for wrong reasons, that the UK is on the wrong side of history. Your thoughts?
Oh, I think you're right. I try to avoid it. But, a very simple way, Ukraine is UK reign, right? And it's like, out of this, I think the fake British royal family will collapse. And I think that Charles is just the perfect person to have the British royal family collapse, because he's not a blood royal. He comes from a long line of illegitimates. He's got an illegitimate son. He's got an illegitimate daughter conceived in 1968 with a maid in Balmoral Castle. He's got another illegitimate child. So he's got three illegitimate children. And he's not the father of Prince William, and he's not the father of Prince Harry. So he's got five illegitimate children, and he's got no legitimacy in his crown. He's got no legitimacy in his objects. The crown, orb, scepter, and coronation stone are all fake. Coronation stone he uses is a serge manhole cover. I've got the real coronation stone. He refused to use it because it would invoke the wrath of God, because he's from a long line of illegitimates. And then he was involved in the Northern Bank robbery, which was the biggest,
really?
Yeah, which was the biggest robbery in UK history. So what happened was, in 2004, British Army 77th Brigade wanted to be formed, and that was aimed at counterintelligence in the social media attacking truthers, right? And some of those people trained in the British Army 77th Brigade actually changed their surname to Windsor in that year, 2004, to confirm their allegiance to the program of attacking truthers. And that was funded, the British Army 77th Brigade counterintelligence operation against people telling the truth in the social media. That was actually funded by the Northern Bank robbery, which stole £26.5 million on the 20th of December, 2004, and the people involved in that robbery was Camilla Parker Bowles, Camilla Parker Bowles' ex-husband, Brigadier Andrew Henry Parker Bowles, his business partner, Ted Cunningham, who was convicted for it, Ted Cunningham's son, and Mark Shand, who was Camilla Parker Bowles' brother.
Wow. And they basically got away with it, and the goods, the vast sum was never recovered?
Well, what they did is they, just before the robbery, Mark Shand started up a charity called Elephant Family, and that was designed to launder money, right? It was designed to launder the Northern Bank robbery money. So what they would do is they would give the money, transfer it to Osama bin Laden's two brothers, right? And Osama bin Laden's two brothers would donate it to the Elephant Family so it could be laundered. And the two patrons, the two royal patrons of Elephant Family who direct where the money is spent are Prince Charles and Camilla Parker Bowles.
Prince Charles and Camilla Parker Bowles
were in charge of the money. Once it was laundered through Elephant Family, it was at the behest of Prince Charles and Camilla Parker Bowles to spend it how they liked. And they spent it on the British Army 77th Brigade counterintelligence against people telling the truth in social media.
Right?
Wow. Now, I've published this and I've listed my sources. And one of my sources is Wikipedia.
Which is a Zionist op, Gregory, of course. I mean, you know, I've tried to correct many false claims they make about me or scholars for 9/11 truth, which I founded and been rebuffed. They want to use it to discredit, you know, contemporary events and sources that contradict their official policy, though on a vast variety of subjects, they're quite good and reliable, but that's like the classic formulation for disinformation, 80% true and accurate with a 20% false and misleading payload.
Yeah, well, what I did is I read the story of the bank robbery and got all the sources and went through it, and I could see how they're trying to cover the tracks and lie and misdirect, and I got rid of the misdirections, and then I looked at the operation as though it was an operation, and I let the quotations tell the story of what actually happened, and this is what happened. So they tried to stitch up one guy. First, they killed his brother 4 days before the robbery. He was like a baker or something. And problem with killing him 4 days before the robbery is they couldn't pin it on him because he didn't have the money because the robbery hadn't happened. So then about 2 weeks after the robbery, they pinned his brother and sent him to prison for 5 years on the basis of supposedly doing the Northern Bank robbery. But they produced absolutely no evidence whatsoever that he'd done the robbery. So after 5 years, he got out, and then they had to pin it on someone. So they pinned it on Camilla Parker Bowles' ex-husband's business partner, Ted Cunningham. He did 5 years of 10 years, and then he appealed after 5 years. And then Prince Charles came along, and he rewrote the laws of Ireland, right, so that the head of the judiciary in Ireland the head of the police in Ireland could not charge someone for a bank robbery. And it was blatant. It was absolutely blatant. So Ted Cunningham got off after 5 years instead of 10 years, and he had to pay back £3.03 million of the robbery money. So of the £26.5 million stolen, £3 million was paid back. But by the time he got out of prison, it was 2014, and by the time it was all settled, it was about 2018, and people had lost interest in it and also lost their money. So the person behind the robbery was Camilla and Charles. Now, Camilla timed it really well. So the robbery was on the 19th to 20th of December 2004, and she married Charles 111 days later, which was incredibly embarrassing for Charles, and he had to cover up the robbery. So Camilla gets married to Charles, and she says, "Oh, by the way, myself, my ex-husband, and my brother robbed the Northern Bank and his business partner, and you're going to cover it up for us." And Charles is so weak, he's so weak-willed, he goes, "Okay."
Just outrageous. It's like he's a parallel to the imposter we have here in Washington, D.C., who calls himself Joe Biden, who's... It's clearly not the guy from Delaware. I've dug up old videos of the real Joe talking with constituents. He's very animated, expressive, intelligent, articulate. Not that I would agree with what he's saying, but his manner is very much like my own. And then I look at this cadaver who appears to be all loaded with electrodes. Greg, I don't know if you saw recently, they showed footage of him walking out to the Air Force One chopper, and it was like a robot. And that's because they've got him all wired up, and he was acting in accordance with a program, and his behavior was utterly robotic. It could have been R2-D2, or, you know, it was just ridiculous what's going on here. And everything he says is controlled behind the scene. Many of us believe that, in effect, the commander-in-chief of the United States military is now Benjamin Netanyahu, and given the extent to which the Zionists control our Congress, frankly, that puts matters into far more clear perspective than if you assume it's this guy they call Biden who lost massively in 2020, but they rigged the election. We're worried they're going to do it again. Thoughts on any of the above?
Because North America was given to Walter Raleigh and it was passed down to me that I'm the owner of North America. So any elections that you have for the United States of America is completely a non-issue. So they're trying to muddy the waters unbelievably, right? You don't even have a United States of America. It doesn't exist. You've got North America and you've got a Jesuit overlay, which is termed legal, but it's not lawful. It's the theft of an entire nation. So this is happening simultaneously in the United States of America, or more accurately, North America, and it's happening in the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, or more accurately, the Kingdom of England and the Kingdom of Scotland. Right? So you can't actually make a claim unless you've got the real words for the real thing. And what you've got is this massive Jesuit illusion happening where they talk ambiguously, they talk with patent ambiguity, they talk about A and B and D and E, and then at the end of their talk, they claim they made the main point on C, but they've never actually addressed C, right? So you're having an election. Who's going to win the election of the United States of America? Who's going to win the election of the USA? But what about the election for North America? It hasn't happened in hundreds of years, right? You had 9 presidents of North America before the Jesuit takeover in, 1767 or something. No? So you've got to get your names right. You've got to know who you are. You're North Americans. You live in North America. You live on the North America land. You have a North America coastline, and you are south of Canada, and you are north of Mexico.
Fascinating stuff, Gregory. I'd like your opinion about some key figures on the world stage today. First, Vladimir Putin.
Well, he's acknowledged me, which is kind of good. He's got a difficult job because the press in the West, as you know, the press in the West is a complete disaster. It's just a sack full of lies, and they'll just lie against anyone. So you don't actually really know what Putin's done. You don't actually really know whether the war in the Ukraine is real or whether it's just battles over biolabs and the actual so-called bombings, etc., are just staged, you know. You actually don't know, and you don't know whether the war in Ukraine is actually about relocating the so-called Jews from so-called Israel to southern Ukraine, you know.
What's real?
There's different Putins, you know. You see him sometime and he's 6'3", and at other times he's 5'6", and he's younger, he's older, he's plumper, he's not. You just don't know, you know, who is it that's being presented, and the Western media is going, it's Putin, you know, and they show someone. So, you know, it could actually be an actor in America a lot of the time.
How about Donald J. Trump?
You know, he's very obviously used body doubles as well. All of them using body doubles. Like Queen Elizabeth, had, you know, there's four of those. Prince Charles, there's seven of those. Putin, there was three of those back in 2007, so there's at least four or five now. Trump, there's probably about seven Trumps. Biden, there's like multiple Bidens. And the thing about his mask that he obviously wears is that his mask and hairpiece never ages.
Never ages.
It never ages. You got Trump with white skin. You got Trump with tan skin. You got Trump with crimson skin. You got Trump with very golden ginger hair. You got Trump with fair coloured hair. And there's about seven different Trumps as well. This is what's presented in the media. So you actually don't know what they're saying or what they're doing or what the program is, right? So you might actually have the real Trump sitting in the background with the real Putin and deciding some real things, right? And what they're doing with the media is they're showing you that it is such an obvious charade that it is all the Jesuit overlay of legal, but it's not lawful. And it's not real, right?
So go ahead. Just go ahead. Benjamin Netanyahu, Greg.
Well, he's in for the second time, isn't he?
Oh, I think he's served as PM multiple times, but he seems to be bringing down Israel to save his own judicial from corruption. He proposed revising the Israeli constitution to weaken the judiciary. Many believe the whole war on Gaza is driven by his effort to save himself from a fate that he's going to encounter nevertheless. I have long believed the war in Ukraine was to create a new Israel, because most of the occupants of present-day Israel are actually descendants not of the tribe of Judah, but from Khazaria, so they'd like to return to the homeland. The defeat by Russia, I think, has in part motivated the ethnic cleansing to remove or kill every Palestinian from the lands of Palestine. They want to annex Gaza. They want to seize the oil and gas rights. They want to build the Ben-Gurion Canal. All of this is going to be at the expense of the Palestinians, whereas I've said before, the final solution from the Israeli point of view is to load all the Palestinians aboard a ship, float it out to sea, and sink it.
That's what sociopaths and psychopaths do. So my challenge to the so-called Jews of so-called Israel is, do any of the Jews in Israel, can they trace their genealogy back to Israel? I don't think they can, right? And there's people in movies and on TV programs, etc., and they're saying, the Jews aren't the Jews. They're also saying that Catholics aren't Christians and Muslims aren't Muslims, right? So we've got this complete non-reality that we've been living with since, let's say, 1900. And it doesn't exist, right? It's a non-reality. So if you look at the Jews today, right? And you look at their language. The Khazarians had a choice to become Catholics or Muslim because they're on the trading route and they're sort of between the Caspian Sea and the Black Sea and that Georgia Strait. And they decided to become Jews. This is in about 879 AD. And then they funded the Lutheran Bible, 1519 to 1522, and had themselves written into the Bible as the Jews. And they didn't have the language. They didn't speak Hebrew. And Hebrew hadn't been spoken since 200 AD, hadn't been spoken or written. So these Khazarians got 400 people together, and they developed this language called Hebrew between 1880 and 1920. And then they applied to the forerunner to the United Nations, which is called, what was it called? I can't remember what it's called.
League of Nations,
yeah. So in 1921, these 400 people were tested to see if they could speak this language, and they passed. So this language was called New Hebrew or Modern Hebrew, and it became an official language in 1921, and it hadn't been spoken or written since 200 AD. Right? So all this incredibly difficult to pronounce stuff, like all those sounds, it's all invented, right? So the Hebrew language is invented, and the so-called Jews that have occupied Israel has been invented on the back of a napkin. Like the Balfour Agreement was a two-paragraph letter, not even on a letterhead. It was just something typed up. You know? It said, Great Britain, which is a not a legal entity, will assist the so-called Jews back into Palestine as a homeland for Jews, to be called Israel. It was called Palestinian until 1905, and then the maps changed it in 1905 to Israel, and then the Jews moved in, the so-called Jews, Jews who aren't Jews, moved in 1948. And, you know, it just created mayhem and used it as a platform to take over North America and take over the Jesuit and work with the Jesuits on this corporation called the United States of America. You know, just to take it further and further and further away from reality, because they don't want reality.
Gregory, it looks to me like the war in Ukraine is resolved. The Russians have recently taken out a command and control center that include officers from NATO and the UK using a Kinzhal hypersonic missile, which I say is all to the good. The Houthis are putting up a tremendous fight. They are very feisty. I'm tremendously impressed. The Israelis have begun flooding the tunnels of Hamas. They're actually defeated in ground combat with the Hamas, which are able to use rubble as, you know, places to secure themselves, get up close. They've taken out 150 tanks and armored personnel carriers. Colonel McGregor has said the Israelis had really defeated themselves by destroying all the buildings. But get this, we now have evidence from Christopher Busby, whom I've interviewed myself, that the Israelis are using tactical nukes, neutron bombs, that they've used them in Lebanon and they've used them in Gaza, just as he discovered when he visited Fallujah that the U.S. had been using a new type of tactical nuke in Iraq. All this is outrageous. Hezbollah is starting to become very, very active on the northern frontier, and I'm suspicious, I predict. The Israelis are going to use these nukes on Hezbollah, too. Can you comment on any of the above?
No. I can't. They make the news, you know, they throw in details to the news, blah, blah, blah. So much of it isn't real, right? And it can actually be them working together. You just don't know. Like, we had this thing called the Cold War. Went on from, like, 1961 to 1991. So it went on for 28, 30 years. And there was like two people killed in it. And the rest was one side killing its own side, right? And it was all about building up bureaucracy and fear. And, you know, the Khazarian mafia is just a fearmongers. And governments and the media are just fearmongers. So, you know, one of their famous quote is, there'll always be wars and rumors of wars. And so much of it is just rumors of wars. And so much of it's just absolutely not real. But they want to keep you in a state of fear, whether you're informed or not. And when you actually meet the people and you're actually in the situations, you realize just how fake the news is. Like, you know, I'll talk to my friends in America and they'll go, oh, here you're having a terrific storm in the UK. And there's just no storm at all, you know. So the news that you're getting in the US and the news we're getting in the UK are completely different. None of it's true, or very little of it's true. And it's part of silent weapons for quiet wars and the Jesuits and non-directional warfare. And part of non-directional warfare is misinformation and also overloading you with information such that you can't write a book on the war because so much of it didn't happen. Like, in the Cold War, we were taught that the Russians had 3,000 nuclear weapons, nuclear missiles, 3,000 nuclear missiles. So,
Gregory, you got to hold that thought. We'll be right back. We will be opening the lines, but first and foremost, I want Mitchell to have the opportunity to ask the first questions when we return from this break with Greg Halleck.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Revolution Radio will not be broadcasting this coming Monday, Christmas Day, nor the following Monday, which is New Year's Day, but otherwise we'll be back on the air. So I'll return on Wednesday with a regular show Friday, then we'll skip Monday and resume again the following Wednesday. I'm just ecstatic that I was able to feature Greg Hallett today, which is the last day of my wonderful supportive producer, Mitchell Bob, who has gone out of his way to aid and abet me. It turns out that Revolution Radio doesn't provide producers, and out of the goodness of his heart, for which I'm eternally grateful, Mitchell has been aiding and abetting me. We are going to open the lines to calls, but first, I want to give Mitchell the opportunity to meet Greg Hallett, who's just a terrific guy I've known for over 20 years now. Mitchell, your thoughts.
Hey, hello, Jim. Howdy, Greg. I hope y'all are doing well, and God bless you all. Jim, thank you for that glowing endorsement there. Thank you. You know, Greg, God bless you, and I wanted to ask, are we seeing the extension, you know, it used to be that governments only compartmentalized, you know, their own departments. Are we seeing the compartmentalization of the world through news and information, and everybody is kind of divided and they're never on the same page?
Yes, yes. England is divided into four TV sections. So they'll broadcast one news item in around Liverpool, which was actually Hitler, documentary on Adolf Hitler living in Stanhope Street, Liverpool, from he was in England from February 1912 to May 1913. So from November 1912 to May 1913, Adolf Hitler lived with his half brother and sister-in-law, Angela Hitler, in Stanhope Street, Liverpool, and they only showed that in that top left corner of England. Left, yeah. And the other three quarters of England didn't get to see it, right? Because it was known about in Ireland, in around Liverpool, but it was not known about in, say, southeast England in Kent. So, yeah, we're getting compartmentalized information, and we're getting, different angles on the news wherever we look, and then what's in the book is different from the TV series, and what we understand at the time, let's say of the Northern Bank robbery, and then we see a TV series on the Northern Bank robbery, and it just entirely avoids Camilla Parker Bowles, her ex-husband, and her brother's involvement, and Prince Charles's involvement, and it gets into things like the domestic state of so-called accused people, you know, just completely off track. And it's a Jesuit thing to use circumlocution, ambiguity, and never address the point and never have any clarity on anything. Like, the news you get in the United States of America, the news you get in the UK is completely different. And people in the UK are just waking up to that they're not called England. And the only thing that's called England here is the courts of England and Wales and the English soccer team. Nothing else is called England. So, you know, when you have an Olympic team, is it the North American Olympic team or is it the USA Olympic team? You know? So you don't have your identity in government. You don't have it in law. You don't have it in your history books. So they've compartmentalized, but they've also done a Jesuit overlay of the UK over England, the UK over Scotland, the USA over North America. Compartmentalized plus overlays.
Yeah. What strategies would you advise people to use to break the lock on their mind? You know, we've had all this information force fed us. It's downloaded. We've processed it, and now we have to figure out a way to get through that, to talk to people. I've often said that, you know, for politicians to really make any impact or kind of difference, they have to fight through all of that social media programming and all the government, the government brainwashing that we get today. What strategies would you advise for people to enlighten themselves in the conditions we are today?
First thing you got to do is get rid of compulsion. So you got to clean out your body from all the toxins, eat good food, eat organic food, breathe some fresh air, get plenty of exercise, especially aerobic exercise, meditate, contemplate, get rid of the dross. And, you know, the dross is family dross, family patterning. The dross is the education we've had. 19 years from age 5 to 24, going right through to university, and it's pretty much all rubbish. Anything in the mainstream media is pretty much just all dross and rubbish. So it's actually, you know, if you want to get into the truth and breaking the hold of the lies on you, it's a full immersion. No? It's really quite difficult. But if you, where we're actually going with this is the fulfillment of prophecies. That's what all of this is about. Prophecies in Shakespeare, prophecies in the Bible, prophecies in the Rosicrucian cosmography, 1618, prophecies elsewhere, you know, and they're there, prophecies in movies, etc. Like, there are a lot of prophecies in the Simpsons TV series and in movies about the true prince will be announced on the 23rd of the September 2023. I don't know if you saw that. So I weighed myself on the 23rd of September 2023, and I was 239 pounds, right? So I was, my weight was the date that they were predicting the true prince would arrive, yeah? And then they had, I've got another guy I'm working with who's also got a claim, and he was 23 stone 9 on the day. He's fit, right? So we fulfilled that little prophecy, and the British royal family were really pissed off because we fulfilled the prophecy and they didn't. So they've gone all quiet on it. Now, there's a whole lot of prophecies, right? And if you look at the Bible, you know, discounting the religious aspect entirely and discounting all the sing songs that they have, which were invented in the 1600s, 1700s and 1800s, the whole Bible culture, they are just add-on books. But if you look at what it actually says, it's a series of prophecies in a book hidden inside a religion, right? And the word Bible actually means book, right? So the Bible is a book of prophecies that's been hidden inside a religion, and it's been hidden inside a religion, so the religion can keep it at the forefront, so that people will read it and see the prophecies.
Get out of there!
And we've just been fulfilling the prophecies, left, right, and centre. You know, we're looking at the last prophecies, which is the valleys will rise and the mountains will bow. Right, and the way I see that is, if you look at the word mountain, it can mean hill, and it can mean small hill, it can mean mound, right? And I've got the coronation stone, so I can take that from the valley and put it on the mound at Scone Palace, which is where the King of Scotland sits on the coronation stone on the mound at Scone Palace, and then the high ups will bow, valleys will rise, and the mountains will bow, right? So we've got all these prophecies that are just happening incredibly and frequently and often, and we're down to the last ones. So this last one happens in three parts, and we're two-thirds of the way through it. The previous prophecy was the sky and the earth shall join. So that was kind of interesting. It's kind of, well, what is that, rain? But what we had on Guy Fawkes Day, 5th of November 2023, was Aurora Borealis as far south as Norfolk, Suffolk, and Sussex, which is the south of England. And that was the Aurora Borealis, is the sky and the earth joining, right? And then I went into St. Petersburg, Peterborough Cathedral at the end of November, and there were Qigong dancers there, and they were wearing white tie-dye down to blue, and they were doing a dance called TND in the cathedral with all the pews removed. And TND is the sky meets the earth. So they're actually doing that, fulfilling that prophecy there in front of me. So what we've got is secretly all of the world leaders with integrity are the ones who are 15 minutes, who are going by the prophecy and waiting for it to be fulfilled and making sure it's fulfilled. And I was talking to this Freemason guy about 5 years ago, and he said, you seem to know a bit. And I asked him, are the Freemasons enacting the prophecies to the letter? And he said, yes, more or less with minor exceptions. So if you look at the prophecies, that's what's going to happen, right? So I've not only looked at the prophecies to see what's going to happen, but I'm actually part of the prophecies, and they're happening around me, and we're filming them, and we're doing videos on them on kingof.uk. My YouTube channel is kingof.uk, and my books are at kingjohnthird.uk. So I've got about 25 books there for sale. So kingjohnthird.uk and kingof.uk. So I've actually filmed prophecies at the right time, at the right place, with me in them, and I'm learning about them being fulfilled as I'm doing it. And then I'm showing others high up who have esoteric knowledge, and they're explaining more details. So we're doing, you know, like 3, 4, 5 videos on just Peterborough Cathedral. So I don't know if that answers your question. I think it might.
We have two regular callers standing by. Brian, your opportunity to speak with Greg Hallett. Brian.
Greg, it's just fascinating talking to you. You're just spot on with everything. If you knew the power of your DNA and you knew some magic of a light to tie that into that coronation crystal, you'd be amazed at the things you could do. I do this chakra dhyana thing twice a day, and your telepathy improves. And one thing I learned is to talk to the higher self of Jesus Christ. So it just came in really powerful. And yeah, he told me his lifetimes. And one of them was Queen Elizabeth I. He had Adolf Hitler, he had George Washington, he had the Prophet Muhammad. And he showed me a lot of things with Queen Elizabeth I, and this is where my question comes in. the Trinity is actually Christ, the Apostle Thomas, and the Apostle Matthew. And in that lifetime, someone named John D was Thomas, and someone called Lord Burghley was Matthew. And her scepter was super powerful with that coronation crystal, and they formed a perfect triangle, a trinity. And they actually were the ones responsible for sinking the Spanish Armada, because it was necessary, you know, for the new world that we'd get the United States. It was kind of setting the foundation of that. And I know her scepter was used, and I know that John D. had a scepter, and I know Lord Burghley had a scepter. But are you aware of those two scepters? I'm just curious where they are, if you know anything about them.
No, I don't know where they are. Yeah, but it's kind of interesting, because when Queen Elizabeth I employed Walter Raleigh as the head of a guard and as the vice admiral commander of the English expedition to discover North America, that when Gilbert Raleigh arrived in North America, he had the title Christ, right? And when he died on the way back, the ship sunk, he drowned, the entire expedition fell to the vice admiral commander of the expedition, who was Sir Walter Raleigh, who then held the title Christ. Christ is a title, you know, it's not a guy in a flowing white gown. It's actually a title. Apart from that, I can't comment other than the guy who died, Gilbert Raleigh, who died, he was in a homosexual relationship with John Dee.
Well, I can point out, could I just point out one other thing to you concerning Hitler in England that's a little off? Is he was actually there in 1910, because if you go to the paintings of Hitler, you will find a painting entitled Self-Portrait on a Stone Bridge from 1910, and it's Hitler on a stone bridge, and it's Clapper Bridge in Tavistock is that stone bridge. So he was there a little earlier.
Name of that bridge, Clapper's.
Clapper Bridge in Tavistock, yes.
How do you spell that?
C-L-A-P-P-E-R, and it's on the paintings of Hitler. They used to have the paintings of Christ on the cross in his paintings, and they've still got the one of Mother Mary with her Christ child. He still has that painting listed amongst the paintings. There's also a painting of Christ with Adolf Hitler that used to hang in all the Lutheran churches in Germany. Of course, all this is suppressed from us, but that one has still been there. But you can no longer find the painting of Christ on the cross and on the internet. But you can find the painting of him on the Clapper Bridge in Tavistock.
Clapper Bridge, Tavistock, that's interesting. He was also there in 1912, but 1910 was basically a big spy convention for who would play a part in World War II, and being an artist, a painter, was a cover for being a spy, because they could stand in front of something they wanted to spy on and paint it.
Nice, very nice. Brian, great questions. Paul's been very patient standing by. Paul, would we have more time? You're on with Greg.
Wow. Well, I heard most of the show, a little bit off and on, but I caught the majority of it. And got to tell you, Jim, you're out there today. I mean, what I thought of with Brian talking about the scepter and the crystal and the British Armada, I just couldn't help but think, well, Jim, you should have gone into the courtroom with a scepter. You might have done better.
Yes. Much to be said about that very different topic. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've heard so many things. It would be fun to go back, listen to the whole show, and just sort of deconstruct it. I've heard so many things where I want to go, what? And then other things where it's, like, fairly interesting. You know, I will say that, you know, of course. I do have three quick questions, though, just, I mean, as cleanly as I can. So the first one is, I have a book, The Great Train Robbery by Michael Crichton, and I want to know if he's heard of it, he's read it, what he thinks of it. Second one would be, you know, with all this fakery everywhere, and Jim, you're no doubt you spent lots of time exposing so many things are fake. So, you know, who's really in charge? Like, as an example, we've all heard that the British Empire was actually the British East India Company Empire, so on and so forth. And there's been a lot of information and speculation about who was behind that. But I would also like to know what your guest thinks of who's behind the agenda. What does he think of this agenda to flood England with all these non-white foreigners and basically, you know, in many ways, ruin England and supplant the English population with non-English people? Who do you think, you know, is behind that and why?
I haven't read the book. And we are just immersed in fake media. And the great replacement of white England with non-whites and non-English is Prince Charles, because he recognizes that Britain is not England. Britain is a fake entity. Great Britain is a fake entity. The United Kingdom of Great Britain is a fake entity. The British royal family has effectively never, ever existed. And there's just a fake Jesuit takeover of the to suppress the English royal family.
So by Jesuits, I mean, yeah. Look, most people that have really looked into this, including Miles Mathis, has done a couple of really good papers on the Jesuits, but the Jesuits are mostly Jews, or they were started by Jews and run by Jews for centuries. So that's who that would be. By the way, if you're ever interested, you want to read that book. It's an absolutely fascinating book, The Great Train Robbery by Michael Crichton. I thought it was one of the best reads I've ever enjoyed in terms of kind of a telling or retelling of a, you know, a fairly well-known story.
Yeah, well, I've just, my third book is How to Become the Pope and Own the World. And that's about...
okay.
That's about the Jesuit modus operandi. So I researched what they did in history, and then every time I noted the techniques that they've used. And then in the final book, the 30th book, How to Become the Pope and Own the World, I've written out in great detail about 300 methods that they use for their opposition and their non-reality. And it's been quite successful because the Pope, Pope Francis, is Jesuit, and I wrote to him on my standing qualifications in his existence, and he abdicated his principal title, Vicar of Christ, in Easter 2020, and then he named Joseph Gregory on Easter Friday 2020, which is my name, and then he named Hallett in 2021, early 2021. So, and then since then, since the early 2021, it appears that the Jesuit Pope Francis has been replaced by someone in a rubber mask who doesn't actually look that much like him. And the last time this happened was with Pope Paul VI, who was Pope until Easter 1975, and then he was replaced until August 1978 when that replacement Pope died. So I think we've got a replacement Pope. I think that was the last Pope. That Pope has abdicated his style and title of Vicar of Christ at my behest, and that's his highest title. So, and then he named me, right? So we no longer have a Pope or Popes.
Okay. I'm not sure what to make of all that, but alrighty.
I get it.
Well, you'll have to explain it to me sometime, Brian. But it's sort of like, you know, there must be a reason why they fake everything. And I've often been curious. I mean, I'm sure Jim and all your research, you have just kind of asked yourself, well, why do they need to fake everything? It's sort of a, you know, it's an interesting question, you know. I mean, it's like they want us to believe it's real, right?
No.
But yet it's fake. I mean,
no, I'll answer.
They don't want us to believe it's real.
Greg has an answer for you, Paul.
They want to make it so obviously fake that everyone knows that it's not real. And the reason they're doing Why are you mumbling?
Continue, Greg. Paul.
It's not obviously fake, though.
Paul, let Greg answer. Go ahead.
No, I feel like
it's not obviously fake to most people. Go ahead.
No, you just talked over my answer, so I don't think you're listening. So next caller, please.
No.
There is no
next
caller.
These are the two we have. We have Brian and Paul.
And here's the thing, it's not obviously fake.
Mitchell, hang up.
Obviously fake.
I'm not listening to you.
Look, I think mostly you're full of shit, okay? You're interesting, but you're full of shit. You can't answer a direct question.
Mitchell, hang up this guy. Drop him.
Hang up this guy.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks so much.
It's not
Brian, thank you for your call.
I want to
conclude with special thanks to Mitchell Bupp for being so wonderful, so supportive for years and years and years on this program. I owe him an enormous debt. I'll be dealing with the calls myself. I'm going to sort out and I'll announce how we're doing it on Wednesday. I want to thank both Brian and Paul for their calls. And I want to thank Greg, especially as I've observed a friend of 20 years. Greg, the final thoughts are yours. A closing comment.
British royal family's fake. The United Kingdom of Great Britain has never legally existed. The United States of America has never legally existed.
Great sensational happening. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at...